Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump, along with Caleb Hatch, just taking selfies in the studio, trying to get shots of the new hat, the Sports Rush swag that we that I got this weekend. Wow, I've even got the staff shirt on, too. I didn't even realize I got the combo going. So, yeah, we'll have to post that on one of them, the accounts. I don't know if it's at Brett Rump Sports, at 1380 The Fan, at Sports Rush 1380, at Caleb Hatch. Caleb will have no reason to post it because he's not in the selfie. But somewhere we'll post the picture so you can check that out. Make sure you follow all of the above on Twitter. So a lot of changes happening in the media, Caleb. A lot of ins and outs. Drew Brees out at NBC after 1 year. Surprised by this?
I guess a little.
I didn't think he was bad. I didn't think he deserved to be fired. Maybe not, didn't deserve to be on the number one team.
Yeah, but I think that is the real thing, is that he was okay, but he wasn't bringing anything unique to the table. And I get that Tom Brady is a big deal as far as Fox getting him, but I kind of feel the same, that they're kind of in the same spot where, yeah, they're great football players, but it doesn't mean they're going to be great broadcasters.
No, it's not like the Manning cast where, you know, Peyton Manning just has a natural likability, credibility, and he has a sense of humor.
And Eli has a great sense of humor as well.
Yeah. Yeah, he's terrific. In fact, it's nice with the two Colts Monday night games this year. Will we get Manning cast with Colts football this year?
That would be fun.
That would be fun. Also out is Kay Adams, longtime host of Good Morning Football on the NFL Network. This was a very popular show in the mornings, and she was a hugely popular host, and she has decided to step away from game day Good Morning Football, and there's some speculation that maybe the next move for her is going to be tied into Amazon and the Thursday night broadcast. Is she going to be a sideline reporter? Is she going to be a studio host? But there's some speculation there that maybe that's why she is stepping away from Good Morning Football, but a little bit of a surprise there. But Brees and Adams out. Tom Brady, of course, as you mentioned, Fox, he is in whenever he decides to retire. Also recently announced, Maria Taylor is taking over for Mike Tirico as the host of Football Night in America. I guess no big surprise if you look at highest paid studio host. I mean, this is kind of the job Maria Taylor was hired to come in and do for NBC, right? So it shouldn't be a big surprise that she's taking over for Mike Tirico. But that was announced as well. All right, we've got some tickets to give away. We've got, okay, now this is a 4-pack of tickets to qualifying for the Indy 500, but it's 4 Saturday tickets, plus you get 4 Sunday tickets, so you can actually go to both days of qualifying, and essentially you're winning 8 tickets, not just 4. But if you'd like to go to qualifying for the Indy 500 coming up this weekend, all you need to do is be caller number 5 at 447-8500. That's 260-447-8500. Caller number 5 is a winner of a 4-pack of tickets to qualifying for the Indy 500 on Saturday and on Sunday. Good luck, 447-8500. Of course, for those calling out of our local calling area, the area code is 260. Well, speaking of the 500, two-time winner Takuma Sato actually had a chance to chat with Caleb, or maybe Caleb chatted with Takuma Sato. Regardless, we have a chance to let you in on that little discussion that Caleb had with Takuma Sato. And here it is, Caleb with Indy 500 two-time champ Takuma Sato.
Caleb Hatch with you, and today we are joined by the driver of the number 51 Dale Coyne Racing with Rick Ware Racing Honda, Takuma Sato. Taku, thanks for coming on.
Of course, thank you for having me.
Now, Takuma, it was a wild Saturday, to say the least, with the GMR Grand Prix over at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway to set the table, if you will, for the month of May. You started 13th, you finished 7th, but there was a lot of chaos in between. What was it like, that first race with the aero screen in the wet for you?
Well, first of all, I mean, it was wild and a crazy race, but hopefully everyone in the world watching the race enjoyed it. Certainly I enjoyed it too. And some part was frustrated, some part it felt a little bit scary, but no, aero screen is great. I think it just protects us, you know, just the safety level is nothing like on the open wheel days. And now, of course, you felt a little bit unnatural at the very beginning when they introduced initially. That is a very honest feeling. But, you know, once you get used to it, you feel like, you know, you don't want to drive it without it, to be honest. And, of course, yesterday was the first time myself and the most of the drivers, you know, the experience in the rain situation. Now, the amount of the spray for the on the racetrack was obviously, it's very difficult to visibility. Now, the challenge is with or without the air screen, I think it's the visibility difference is within a 5% or 2%. I think that's a tolerance. It's very small because everybody's saying, oh, is it difficult to air screen? Yes, I get that, when, especially on the safety car speed. And when you try to get the, you know, before the start, that was particularly difficult when you have some oils on the air screen so the water stays a bit longer. But once you get to the racing speed, I don't think there was much different. And I think we should be appreciated for having extra device for the safeties, particularly in a wet situation, the flying debris and all stuff. You can't really see it. So I think it was great. There was no actual huge incident on the track. But I think overall, I think it was very successful.
Were there any issues with the aero screen fogging up at all for you?
No. We have two different versions. One has got defroster on it and electrically. But honestly, we didn't use it. The way it works, I think if there is a moisture inside in cockpit and stayed long and steamed up at the there is no airflow, then should be defroster and it comes into. But once it gets going on the racing, I never had any problem with the fogs.
How much did your F1 experience of racing in the rain play into how you approach races like this in IndyCar?
It's unpredictable. That's one word for the rain. And it's a challenging, it's a scary, but it's a fun too. You know, I've been experienced in the junior Formula days and the Formula One, and of course IndyCar too have various types of the rains, and we had never exactly the same situation even once. So, the water level and the track conditions and the tires, corner by corner, lap by lap, it's different, and that's a fun part. And the great thing in the rain, we are not restricted for the one single racing line. So we have a multiple line is available. In fact, sometimes the offline is more grip because on the racing line, there is lots of lovers, you know, on top of the surface, which is, sometimes is less grip in a wet condition. Not always, but sometimes. And in most of the cases, there's grip. So we're actually driving offline, and that gives you a different multiple lines is available. That is more exciting for the racing. So, like you said, yes, I started 13th, and we were very strong. It's come up to the fourth, but then on the restart, there was a Tungus and two McLaren in front. I had to avoid and to go to the wet grass on the dry tire. That stunned me, and that was obviously a downside. But then. Then later on, I had another rain come, and then now it's helped me. And we surely but slowly move up the position. And last stint was quite excited. So very happy to finishing the top 10. And it's a people struggle, aircraft raining all over the place. But that was for me, it was a great challenge, and it was fun.
Any desire for an intermediate tire like they have in F1? I know some drivers mentioned that after the race. Do you think the rain tire is sufficient as it is?
It's a tough, isn't it? Yes. In perfect world, yes. You know, we'd love to have a different spec in the rain tires, which I experienced it's a lot. Intermediate tire works really well when the dump conditions come in. But, you know, I think it's the all in all, you know, the Firestone does a great job. These rain tire cover from a heavy monsoon condition to actually drying up to the track. Now, of course, if you're drying up the track and have a wet tire, you have a disaster. Now, of course, even Saturday, I had one point, I think nearly more than 10 seconds off the pace from the dry tire people. But that's a game. You know, that's the name of sport. And that's it, depending on driver and then the team, which tire you can choose. In fact, Corton and I was one of the earliest to dry tire change after the start. You know, it's a very dump condition with a dry tire. It's very, very tricky. But it was actually went really well, and I really enjoyed it. So if you had an intermediate tire, basically everybody goes to the intermediate tire on dump condition. So net result is the same. So I think where it is, you know, I think it's a very cost efficiency, and Firestone does a great job in most of the conditions to adapting. So I don't have any complaint with that.
Shifting to the 500 as practice starts on Tuesday, how do you feel about your car? You're obviously with the new team this year. You won this race twice, back in 2017 and in 2020, but you moved to a new team this season. How do you feel about their Speedway cars?
It feels positive, but only time will tell, you know. I think the honest feeling is I don't know. You know, the things are very tricky here because obviously Speedway car, where they called a Speedway car or Indy 500 actual car, is like massaging the last 6 months. You know, basically they carefully how can I say, building the car very specific for this Indy 500, and a lot of team actually shook down for the open test a couple of weeks ago, but we didn't. We saved it for the best part for this coming practice and actual 500 week. And then we tested some of the common parts, but, you know, the other day on the open test, which was quite productive. But honestly, the condition we had the other day was just ambient temperature was just 50s to below 60. So a very, very cold condition, and I don't expect that in for the 500. So I think it would be quite different feeling, but at least the test was very productive and a very strong pace for us. And but you know, the first and most, I think we're really happy to come back to IMS, and just this is a place where we belong to. So we're very happy. And talking about new team, yes, it is a few unknown that we have to. Learned so much engineering stuff, the new style, new philosophy of building up the car. But the team is just fantastic. You know, Derek Cohen Racing, and of course with Rico Racing, and the number, you know, 51 boys, and in particular for my boys, did a great job to prepare the car. And it's just a small, you know, we had a very small resource, but the such a tight engineering for everyone else. That's, I think we have a good advantage to have a small team, but it's kind of a very reactive, you know, very, very quickly resolve the adapting the in the difference. So I'm very excited and I feel very positive. And the rest of it, we will see tomorrow, particularly on the new car.
Taku, Honda picked up their first win over the weekend. Colton Herta getting the win in the GMR Grand Prix. So the first win for Honda this season. Obviously, you're a Honda driver. Do you have any feel for the top-end speed when it comes to qualifying, and then also fuel mileage and race pace coming up for the Indy 500 later this month?
I feel always, you know, very proud to be part of the Honda family, of course. Corton did a fantastic job on the last Saturday, and great to see the Honda cars winning. And, of course, we'd like to add, you know, some another win for the coming weeks. But, no, I think the Honda will produce the maximum effort as usual. As always, I think we have a great power and also great advantage for the fuel mileage, although the competitor is always, you know, become the competitor very much. So looking at the last few races and even the through the Texas Motor Speedway on speed, I think it was a neck and neck. I think it will have a very competitive, tight field. But that's all about, you know, I think it's great for the spectators. And hopefully us as a Honda, has a strong arm on the coming Indy 500 Sunday race.
Takuma, thanks so much for coming on. We appreciate it. And good luck here coming up the next 2 weeks in the month of May.
Thank you very much.
That is Takuma Sato joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. We'll have more of the Sports Rush with Tin Caps manager Brian Esposito coming up next here on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump along with Caleb Hatch. Tin Caps finally back at Parkview Field this week. Of course, it's a big week. We'll be out there on Thursday broadcasting the Sports Rush live as it's Colts at bat night. And then on Saturday, a special tribute to the Daisies. We are joined right now on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline with Tin Caps manager Brian Esposito. And I know, Skipper, it's been kind of a tough couple of weeks on the road, but maybe last night, from what I was told, that New York Rangers overtime win might have made you feel a little better for a while.
You ain't kidding. It was fun to get off the road, come home, and watch them take on the old Penguins, and after being down, you know, coming back from three games and putting a win up and getting the Garden rocking again. So, yes, you know, certain things in this world make me happy. That's one of them, a New York Ranger win at the Garden.
Well, and having golfing weather, I also understand, makes you kind of happy. That kind of, you know, is that your escape a little bit, is to get out on the golf course and shoot around the little white ball?
No doubt. It's something I picked up probably about in 2017. I started getting back into playing golf again. And to be honest with you, I think it was something that kind of keeps me level-headed, understanding of how much I practice, how much I play, and that there's going to be, you know, ups and downs in your performance. So it kind of ties into what we're going to talk about today. My performance in golf, I could be as good as a 75 on certain days, 74, and then there's going to be days I'm going to go out and shoot a 95. So, you know, we practice our butts off, but we always expect to have the results that we want. Not always going to be the case. So teaches you patience, teaches you some discipline, but also just understanding that everyone is out there trying to do their best. Sometimes that's not what you're going to get. So,
and you know what? I think we can all relate to the golf story and the golf analogy, because I remember a few years ago, I hadn't played golf for a couple of years, grabbed the clubs. I decided I was going to go by myself because I didn't want to embarrass anybody I went with, especially embarrass myself. And I shot the round of my life. I mean, I hit the ball beautifully. I mean, I think I was like 4 over par. It was just a ridiculous round. And I thought, boy, I feel good. I'm going to invite somebody to go with me tomorrow. And I took somebody with me, and I could not hit the ball to save my life. It's just one of those things where you never know what you're going to get. And the last couple of weeks, like you said, it's been a little bit difficult with the Tin Caps finding the win column. It just seems like one thing or another just not quite clicking. And, you know, I always feel like there's so many things in baseball that seem to be contagious. Hitting is contagious. Good pitching is a lot of times contagious. And I remember when I played, I mean, if the starter the day before had a good outing, I was more determined than ever to have a good outing. And you know, as a manager, when things aren't going well, how do you deal with culture, confidence, and psyche of your baseball team to try to put it in the rearview mirror and move forward?
Well, I think, you know, especially it's relatively easy at this level because a lot of what we're trying to do here is develop championship players for the San Diego Padres. So, you know, a lot of the fruits that we're going to bear at this level may not be on our watch. It may not show up for a year or two, but in hopes that you continue to move the needle forward on each player's individual skill set. Now, you always hope that you have a team where everybody's clicking on all cylinders and everyone's competing and everyone's, you know, at their peak, and usually that translates into a lot of wins. But the struggles are what make us better. The struggles are the things that we can sit down and we can talk about how we're going to get better at it. So it just so happens that we had our highs together, and now we've had hit our, you know, that valley together. So, you know, it's nothing that we haven't seen before. There's a lot of good teams that are 7 games under .500 that came back to either make the postseason or win a World Series. It's just a matter of just getting back to competing, getting over the hump of what's been going on and out of the lull. And, you know, these guys show up every day ready to work, ready to get better. So I also think that a string of some good luck might go our way as well. So, we're just going to keep at it.
I know one guy, when you talk about showing up every day to work, Robert Hassel III, I mean, this is a guy that certainly shows up every day at work, has not had a day off yet, has played in every game. And another good week, another good series against South Bend, really consistently hitting the ball. What are some of the keys for him right now?
Well, he's an extreme competitor. You know, he goes in there and he takes things personally. You know, he's able to make adjustments from one at bat to the next. You know, There's an at-bat. There was a couple of games that I saw him where, you know, he wasn't holding his ground. The setup wasn't in a good spot. Then all of a sudden he makes his own in-game adjustment, and he comes up with a clutch hit late in the game or drives, or, you know, a ball in the gap. So he's able to make some in-game adjustments, which to me is the biggest thing that I want to see at this level. Are guys learning from what the at-bats are telling them? Are they learning what the game is telling them? And Hassel's one of those guys that is able to see what's in front of him and make some adjustments and recognize what he needs to do and how he needs to get better at it. So, you know, if you show up every day with that mentality, you're going to be good. You're going to have the performances that you want.
Talk to me a little bit about Corey Rozier. This guy looks like he's got some defensive skills, and he's going to be an outstanding outfielder as he continues to develop. But what kind of hitter do you see him being? Is he going to be, you know, somebody that hits consistently at the top of the order? Is he going to be a guy that eventually develops a little more power? We've seen kind of both out of Corey.
Yeah, you know, he's got some bat speed. He's got some quick twitch in him. So we've seen him, you know, go up top a few times, and especially to the pull side. I would think, in my best knowledge, I would think that this guy is going to be able to hit in the top of the order because of his ability to run and get on base. I mean, he's got more walks than strikeouts, which is extremely impressive. Now you couple that with the ability to impact the baseball and drive some things. So wherever he fits into the lineup, I think he's going to be adding value to anyone's lineup, especially that, you know, he is now, and then I further on down the road, once he matures a little bit and figures out some just professionalism as, you know, consistent at bat. But he's a guy that's been really impressive. You know, coming into spring training, we talked a little bit about, you know, some of the arm strength and some of the things that he does out there. And he consistently goes out with an extreme work ethic to continue to get better. He's aggressive attacking baseballs, which is playing large in part to the ability of him throwing the ball really well. And he plays with no fear. You know, he's got no problem, you know, jumping up into a wall. He's got no problem laying out to go get some things. So all those components together, you got yourself a nice little piece of the puzzle there.
Of course, with Hassel playing every day out in center field, Rozier, do you see him as being a guy that is capable of being an everyday center fielder if it wasn't for Hassel on this lineup?
Yeah, I think anyone that has the contributions that he's shown can go out there. As he continues to develop a little more arm strength, I think that, you know, the possibility of him playing all three outfield spots isn't out of the equation. And when you have a guy that can play all three, you know, and he doesn't handicap your lineup, you know, that's a good piece of the puzzle to have. So no doubt he can go out there and run it down in center field. As far as moving up the chain, listen, as long as he continues to do all the things that he's doing right now, I wouldn't see an issue with him playing center field. I wouldn't have an issue playing center field on my team. So,
let's talk about arm strength and talk about your catcher, Brandon Valenzuela. He continues to throw out base runners, leads the league, I think, in throwing out base runners. There's so many different things that make a catcher good at throwing out potential base stealers. One is accuracy. Two is arm strength. Three is quick release. What does Brandon do well?
He does a combination of all three of those. You know, a lot of the times when I'll talk about him throwing guys out, it's a strong exchange. You know, he really works hard on making the strength of his exchange the main thing. When you're strong with your exchange, quickness becomes a byproduct. So it's strong, it's quick. You know, he does have a powerful arm, so there's arm strength there, and there's backspin and carry and accuracy. So all those things combined make his ability to throw runners out pretty simple. Now, the other component that we're leaving out is the ability for pitchers and the rest of our team to hold runners and give him a chance. So sometimes those components are not in line with what we need to do, and that's where it might create, Brandon to either, or any catcher for that matter, to try to be a little bit quicker with their exchange and maybe try to rush a throw, and that's when you start to lose the accuracy, the backspin, and the carry. So holding runners is a big component too, and as long as our guys are doing their job, he's going to have a chance to throw everybody out that he should and get some guys that he shouldn't just based on his skill and attributes.
Of course, anytime you have a bat like Joshua Mears not in the lineup, everybody notices. So I've got to ask you, what's the status with Josh Mears, and will we see him this week?
Just working through some things right now. You know, obviously there's been some struggles at the plate. He continues to show up every day and work hard. So I think there's just going to be a little lull in his opportunity to play right now. Just kind of hitting that reset button and just, get himself back into the saddle. You know, sometimes the best thing that you do, sometimes the best thing that I've learned is just, step back a little bit. Give yourself a little reset, give yourself a little bit of a break, and then get back in the saddle and see where you go. Kind of like your golf game where you take off around your life. You know, we're hoping that he takes some time off. He gets himself in a good position. And then when he comes back, it's back to where he was in that Lansing series.
It's amazing.
A little bit of a blow for him.
How batting can sometimes be physical, sometimes it's mental, and sometimes you just got to get a refresh. And so we'll see how that works. By the way, pitching-wise, Noel Vella, this guy's been nothing short of spectacular. He just dominated almost every time he's gone out there. What's his secret?
You know, I made a comparison the other day about him, about, you know, Bob Ross, the painter. You know, when I was a kid, I used to throw it on and I'd watch what he was doing, and you're looking at it and it doesn't seem to be anything in front of you until all of a sudden you look up and it's a bunch of zeros. He punched out 9 and, you know, working through a lineup with no rhyme or reason, just attacking hitters. He's extremely intuitive. He sees things in front of him where, you know, you don't even necessarily have to game plan with him. It's just whatever he feels like he's going to fire over the plate at that particular pitch, he does it. I don't really control the running game with him. I just kind of let him go do his own thing, and it's just a masterful piece of artwork when he goes out there. You know, Bob Ross does the same thing. He throws up some, you know, scratches up on a board. Before you know it, you got a bunch of clouds and a couple of trees in somebody's backyard painting. So that's what he's been doing for us. So it's been fun to watch.
Always appreciate the time we get to spend with you. Enjoy the rest of the day off. Look forward to a couple of weeks out at Parkview Field. And I can say go Rangers in this round. I'm a Florida Panthers fan, so we'll see if we end up meeting here in a couple of weeks. But good luck to your Rangers.
Yeah, well, thank you. Good luck to you as well. Appreciate having me on.
Yep, that is Brian Esposito, TimCast manager, joining us here on the Sports Rush. 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. I keep thinking, did we give tickets away and not mention who our winner was? We gave away the tickets to the Indy 500 qualifying for this weekend, and it happened so long ago. Dan Delaney, I believe it was, from Fort Wayne. So congratulations, 4-pack tickets for Saturday and Sunday. And since I just said his name, if you're a friend of Dan's, you can maybe ask if you can tag along, because he's got plenty of tickets for this weekend. Caleb, you're going down there. I don't know. Is there a storyline? Does it really matter? I mean, we've kind of learned that you can win this race. You can't win it necessarily from the back. Very rarely does that happen. But
yeah,
if you're in the top 12 to 15, you're in a position to get into contention pretty quickly and probably stay in contention.
Yeah. Like you said, I mean, if you're outside the top, you can even go back as far as the late teens. But like you said, top 15, you're pretty good. Every year, it seems there's one, maybe two drivers where a mistake was made in qualifying, but you know they have a fast race car, they can drive through the field. I mean, it's happened in recent years with Will Power, with Alexander Rossi.
A lot has to
example.
Go right, though, to be able to do that,
yes,
to work through that many cars.
Yes, and once you get up front, it's a lot harder to get to the lead, right? I mean, you can maybe get into the top five, and those guys were able to do that, but they weren't able to ultimately win those races. But I think what we're looking for this weekend is more of just speed, right? And I think we could see some laps. I mean, we saw laps last year in qualifying, 232 miles an hour. Could we see a 233 mile an hour lap? I mean, that seems like a legitimate possibility. You look ahead to the weather forecast and conditions are great for fast speeds. So with cooler temperatures, it's not going to be hot like it was this past weekend. We're looking at weather mid to upper 60s, a lot cooler temperatures. If you get a little bit of cloud cover mixed in with that, you could have some really fast speeds Saturday and Sunday.
And of course, one of the big names that's going to be in the race, Jimmy Johnson. Is he going to have any kind of chance with the car, the team, and the lack of experience in racing IndyCar? Can Jimmy Johnson somehow get a chance to compete in this race?
Absolutely. Look, he has not performed well on the road and street courses. There's no other way to say it. But on the oval at IMS, with all the testing time, the fact that he's a great oval driver, the success he had at Texas Motor Speedway back in March, look, people thought maybe he could contend for a top 10, you know, top half the field, top 12 finish in that race. And instead, he came home in sixth and probably would have had fifth if not for a fuel miscalculation on the final couple laps. He was solidly in that race. He was racing through the field. He will absolutely be a contender and a guy who could contend for that top 12 on the shootout for the pole on Sunday, but also a guy who absolutely, if he picks his spots, is patient and can avoid trouble, will absolutely be a contender on race day.
So you would not be shocked, and you wouldn't consider it necessarily a major win for Jimmy Johnson just to get into that fast 12 on Sunday.
No, with the team he has behind him, Ganassi was very fast last year in qualifying. I would expect him to be fast again this year. And with his experience and having a full week of practice as opposed to one or two practice sessions like a typical race weekend, he will absolutely have a shot to be in the top 12 and have a shot to win the race.
46862 Parkview Sports Medicine text line. By the way, we've got more qualifying tickets that we're going to give away each day this week. Plus, you can win two tickets to the Indy 500. We've got those available. All you have to do is go to 1380thefan.com to get signed up. And you can also text 500, the number 500, to 46862. You'll get a bounce back message with all of the link and registration info right there, and you can just fill it out, get signed up for your chance to win tickets to the Indy 500 from your station for the Indy 500. We will have it on the air coming up on May 29th right here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. But two tickets available for the race this week. I think, is it two tickets this week, two next week, or are we giving away?
Yes.
So we do actually have two pairs of tickets to the 500.
Yes, so the text 500, just 500, and we'll give away a pair of tickets this Friday and then the following Friday. Just go to 1380thefan.com for all the details.
I'm fascinated by the announcement of the new Leo football coach. Of course, a lot of rumors are circulating right now on where that coach is going to come from. I think right now, there is maybe a consensus that it could perhaps be a coach from the Summit Athletic Conference. At least that's where everyone is kind of looking right now. Of course, you know, you look at this job, and I'd have to say, Caleb, it might be the best football job, high school coaching football job that we have in the area. A lot of people would say, oh, what about Homestead and Carroll? You know, they've got their own feeder system. And yes, that's true. They also have, you know, large student bodies and all. But the only thing is, 6A is such a juggernaut when you get to postseason that it's very tough to get past the regional. When you look at Leo, and I think Leo's eventually going to become a 5A school. Are they 5A yet? Or are they still 4A?
I think they're 4A, but again, you
they're
have that realignment.
They're going to be 5A eventually,
yeah,
the way,
keep moving
the
up.
Way it's expanding. But the point is they're not 6A. And so they have an opportunity to win their conference. They have an opportunity to advance in the postseason. I mean, and they've got great community support. They've got a great feeder system. When you have a community like that where the kids live and play together from fifth and sixth grade on up, it's a perfect environment. And they've got a history of success. And so, you know, the bar is established, the bar is set, it's a great culture, and I think any coach that goes in there won't have to change the culture. Now, they might have to learn how to throw the football. Jared Sauter, and I don't know if it, you know, we could say what we want about the style and the system, but they were not known as a wide-open passing offense. They did have a couple of years where they threw the football, but I think the community is going to want more of a wide-open offense that can balance between the run and the pass. I've seen some of the comments on Twitter, but I think Leo, I mean, that is perhaps one of the marquee coaching positions in the area. I mean, at Dwenger and Lewers, you've got the Catholic feeder system. You've got, of course, Snyder with the history and the success. You've got Homestead and Carroll that have the size, but also they have their feeder systems. And so, other than that, I think, okay, you know, Cherubusco's built quite a program. Adams Central has built a great program over the years. South Adams, with what Coach Mosier's done down there in Bern. But I think Leo is right up there. Maybe if you take the area, now I'm taking the county, but if you take the area, East Noble, the East Noble program versus the Leo program. I don't want to pick and choose, but I would say 6-1, half dozen of the other. Because now that you've got the artificial surface at Leo. Now, I will say this. Leo needs to expand the press box. I'm just going to tell you, whoever the next coach is going to be, I hope he's listening right now. Because you got to go and you got to fight the fight to get a bigger press box for more media coverage. They probably need to expand the bleachers because they continue to build more and more of a fan base up there in Leo. They get tremendous support. But we would love to get up there and do games, but every time we ask, we have to be outside. And with weather, you never know what the weather is going to be. It's hard for us to take our equipment and sit outside and do a football game. So hopefully they get a bigger press box. But we'll see who the next coach of the Leo Lions is going to be. Jared Sauter stepped down to get a better day gig. 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. So the NBA Game 7's major one-sided affairs as Dallas absolutely embarrasses Phoenix. And then you had Boston all over Milwaukee. So you had two very one-sided Game 7, something you didn't get in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But, Caleb, I look at this Dallas-Golden State series. First of all, Golden State didn't blow out and dominate a Memphis team that was playing without Ja Morant. A lot of people don't want to give Dallas any opportunity or any chance to win the series against Golden State. And I get it. Golden State's been there. They've done that. They're the team that's got all the experience in the world. But with what Dallas just did with Phoenix and the fact that Dallas figured it out and took away who's the two biggest threats for Phoenix? Chris Paul, Devin Booker, right? Couple of guards. Well, when you look at Golden State, you've got Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. So to me, they've almost created the blueprint of what they need to do to beat Golden State. And that's take away big games from the guards. And they were able to do it against Phoenix in Game 7, and it made the difference. I don't know. I mean, how is Golden State going to match up against Luka Doncic? Draymond Green is going to cover Doncic?
Klay, Draymond. I mean,
Klay is considered the best defender.
Yeah.
But Doncic is so big. Then the other question is, okay, if it ends up being Klay or Draymond and you take two of the best offensive players and they get into foul trouble, because Doncic is a handful. I mean, he is tough because he can attack you. He's got the ability to shoot the three, so you got to guard him close on the perimeter. I think Dallas has a chance in the series against Golden State. I'm not counting them out like so many. I've already heard predictions. Golden State in six. That seems to be the common one. I think Dallas can win this series. I don't know that they will, but I think they can. That's the ultimate in waffling, is to say, I don't know if they will, but I think they can, because then I can be right either way.
I like Golden State. I've liked Golden State since entering these playoffs, especially after Devin Booker had that injury that kind of hampered the Suns in round one. The Warriors are healthy. The Warriors have added a piece in Jordan Poole that I think no one really expected that he would become the guy that he's become, but they have all the pieces together. Yes, they don't have the crazy depth that they used to have back in their, 5, 6, 7 years ago, pre-Kevin Durant with that team. But this team, when healthy, is been one of the best in the NBA this season. The problem is they just have not been healthy that often. They're right on pace with the Suns early in the season until injuries took their toll. And I think the Warriors are going to make it back to the NBA Finals.
And even then, they didn't have, and that was when you're just talking about James Wiseman. You didn't have Klay at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, that was without Draymond. When Draymond got injured, I mean, they really took a turn, but without Wiseman as well.
I forgot about Draymond.
Not even factoring Klay. Yeah. So many injuries, but now that they're healthy, this is a great team.
46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. We'll take a timeout. We're going to come back, put a wraps on this Monday edition of the Sports Rush next on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Back final time on the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. Tin Caps baseball at home this week, and we'll be out there on Thursday for the Colts at bat. Of course, Nyheim Hines Colts running back, is going to be the special guest, but you'll have Colts cheerleaders. You've got Blue, the mascot, and plenty of activities all happening out at Parkview Field before the Tin Caps take on West Michigan. Gates will open on Thursday at 5:35. We'll be out there broadcasting from 4 to 6 with the Sports Rush, so we hope you stop by, see us, see the Colts, and watch the Tin Caps game on Thursday. Tin Caps will be at home starting tomorrow night. If you missed any of the show today, make sure you catch up by going to wherever you listen to your favorite podcast and search for the Sports Rush with Brett Rump. IndyCar driver tomorrow, who do we have?
David Malukas, the teammate of Takuma Sato. So he'll be on with us tomorrow afternoon.
There you go. We'll also talk to Justin Kenny about the new Leo football coach. We think there'll be an announcement by then. And plenty more, all coming up on tomorrow's show. Thanks to our guests, Walter Jordan and Brian Esposito. We're coming back tomorrow with more of the Sports Rush.
Podcasts by Federated Media.